Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and the legendary Kyle Petty is here. And let me just tell you, if you're going to read a book about NASCAR, you want somebody like Kyle Petty writing it. I mean, you want somebody with some skin in the game and a legendary racing background. Kyle, how are you?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Hope you are, too.
Yeah. Now, so your new book is coming out, Kyle Petty, Swerve or Die, an insider account in history of the NASCAR world from one of its biggest stars. And number one, what made you want to write a book?
Well, you know, it's funny, and I tell people this all the time. I grew up with Richard Petty.
Right.
But at the same time, I grew up with David Pearson and Bobby Allison and Cale Yarborough and all the greats from that golden era of the 60s and 70s, and was fortunate enough, and when my career was starting, theirs was still going on, so I was able to race with those guys. And then I raced with Earnhardt Sr. and with Mark Martin and with Jeff Gordon and with Jimmy Johnson and with Tony Stewart. So when you start looking at it, I trace my roots back to, honestly, to the very first race in NASCAR that my grandfather run in 49. But at the same time, I was there for 50 or 60 years of it, either as 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old that was soaking it all in and then racing against your heroes, which was a big deal. And, you know, the pandemic started, and my wife, Morgan, we were pregnant with our second child, so we were very, very, very careful. We just lived in our own little bubble, and it gave me about a year and a half to sit at home and be with my family and to explore some things that maybe I should have a long time ago, and maybe I shouldn't have, but I went back down some of these roads and wrote some stories.
That's fantastic. We're talking to Kyle Petty here on the National Defense. So, Kyle, our audience is mainly active-duty military and veterans and their families. Talk about what the military and veterans mean to NASCAR.
Oh, so much, man. So much, man. You know, my dad is heavily involved, and I don't even know if people remember I drove a car for PVA, Paralyzed Veterans of America, and you know, we did that for the last couple of years of my career. They were my sponsor. But when we go, you know, we are that sport that still says a prayer and still plays the national anthem and still stands up and puts a hand over your heart. Whenever before you play the game, if you don't do that, you don't play the game. That's just the way it is. And that's the way that we look at what Charlotte does in May. We look at what every racetrack does with the flyovers, with the military presence, with Goodyear puts there's a race during the course of the year where Goodyear puts the military on the sidewalk for the tires that these guys run on. So I think there's so much. Air Force has been heavily involved. The Army has been heavily involved. Every branch of the military has been involved in this sport, and so many people that come and buy that ticket and sit in the grandstands have served and have made this country what it is and have made this country so that people like us can, I tell people, so, like people like us can just go out on a Sunday afternoon and ride around in circles and not go anywhere. we do not take that for granted. And we have been very, very blessed in recent years that so many men and women from the military have found their ways into jobs as engineers, as mechanics.
Right.
In the sport, it is fascinating as you walk through the garage area and you talk to these people. What'd you do before you became a mechanic? Well, you know, I was in Afghanistan.
Right.
No way, man. You know, and you just, it is fascinating the stories that are in the garage area that ties to all the armed services.
I played golf with a guy the other day that I just met, and we were talking about somebody, his grandson just turned 19. I said, what were you doing when you were 19? He said, I was in Vietnam. And it is just, it just hit me. I mean, that guy served in Vietnam when he was 19 years old. It's it's humbling. We're talking to Kyle Petty here on the National Defense. His new book, Kyle Petty, Swerve or Die, an insider account in the history of the NASCAR world. And Kyle, the other thing, I didn't know you were a singer. Man, I just listened to old songs that you did. What a great song that is. And man, you got it.
Listen, you're being very, very, very great now. You're being way too gracious.
No, you played at the Grand Ole Opry.
I did get to play the Grand Ole Opry. Listen, just because you pretend some things, it actually comes true sometimes. it is so funny. It is so funny. So from the time when I was when in the early 70s, there was a preacher that came to the racetrack that obviously we raced on Sundays. So we didn't go to church. So this preacher came to save all of us, and he was an amazing man, just an amazing preacher. His name was Bill Frazier, and he and Marty Robbins were the first two guys I ever saw play a guitar in person. I'd seen it on TV, but I'd never seen anybody in person. And
wow.
I was just mesmerized, and I started playing the guitar when I was 12. I borrowed his. He loaned me his guitar. I still have it to this day. He left it to me. And it has been a part of my life forever, and I write songs for my little boys and for my wife, and sometimes they let me play out in public, and sometimes they let me on the Grand Ole Opry, and it was a pretty amazing day to be able to do that. Listen, to be able to run in the Daytona 500 and play in the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh my gosh!
You're done.
Yeah. Yeah. We had Bubba Wallace on the show a couple of months ago. And I know you in your book, you talk about the diversity of NASCAR and the way that it's becoming, you know, it was and all of those guys that you named, you know, in the legendary drivers, NASCAR was once kind of a closed family. Right. And it is. It's opening up so much now. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you know, Wendell Scott came along in the 60s. And you know, racing people are funny people. I tell people this all the time, the people that drive the cars, the people that work on the cars, the people that race the cars, they have one objective, and that's to win a race.
Yep.
And they have this stupid saying, I'll repeat it here, but they have this stupid saying, red or yellow, black and white. I don't care what color you are, as long as you can make me go fast. And that's the way it is.
Right.
And that's the way it's always been. So when everything started happening with Bubba, it was a shock. It was a shock inside that garage area. Our fan base is a cross section of America, and we can't change our fan base. We can only hope to be a guiding light for the fan base and to show the fan base that you can be different, that you can change, that you can be inclusive, and you can embrace people. And you know, I think when everything happened with Bubba and everything happened with the things at Talladega, I think people lost sight, and some ways, and people, even fans in our sport, didn't realize that when Richard Petty walked to the front of that line and took Bubba in his arms and hugged him,
yep,
that Richard Petty was at the very first NASCAR race in 1949. The very first. He was a 13-year-old boy, and my grandfather was racing. So that was Bubba Wallace, and that was the beginning of the sport, and that was an embrace that spanned 70 some years.
Right.
And when you look at it that way, that's a powerful message. That's a powerful message to send to your fan base. And Bubba is an exceptional human being, just a great guy.
Yep.
And he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders because he's not only trying to be the greatest race car driver in the world, he's trying to carry his race.
Right.
And represent his race here in this arena. And eventually, you know, Bubba's going to be that guy that we look at and we're going to say, yep, he's the one that knocked the wall down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because he won a race. He's the one that did it. But that time will come. But it just is, we have just been behind and we know we're behind, but we are fast catching up. And I think NASCAR has done a tremendous job of that.
I think so, too. But just like you said, Kyle, he also just wants to win, right?
That's it. That's all. Listen, it is so funny. We have a sport where race, you know, gender, it doesn't make any difference. You sit in that race car, that car becomes what you drive. If you can drive, you got it going on. And the thing is, nobody cares. Nobody cares as long as you win, man. As long as you put that W in the column.
That's right.
That's what it's all about, man. I will say this, and this, Bubba and I have joked about it. I said, there's a lot of white guys out there that aren't putting W's in the column, dude.
Right.
So don't worry about it.
That's right.
Go do what you do, and everything will work out.
We're talking to Kyle Petty here on the National Defense, his new book, Kyle Petty, Swerve or Die. And did you feel any, I mean, obviously growing up in the family you did with your dad and your grandfather, I mean, how much pressure did you feel as like a teenager or a little older guy to be in the racing business?
You know what? I can answer that question emphatically and fast. None. Zero.
Really?
Because of this. I grew up in rural North Carolina. Most of the kids I went to school with, I graduated a class of about 83 kids. Most of the people I went to school with, their parents worked in a mill. Mills in Randleman. Randleman was a mill town. They were chicken farmers, dairy farmers, or tobacco farmers. And a lot of those kids, their parents were second and third generation farmers. And they became farmers. And they became mill workers because that's what their family did. And it was that cycle that you never thought about leaving that cycle. You didn't feel pressure to be in that cycle. But you wanted to be like your parents. You wanted to be like your dad. You wanted to be a farmer, you know. You wanted to be that guy. And for me, from the time I was little, I tell people all the time, jokingly, I was 9 or 10 years old before I realized everybody's father didn't have a race car. I thought that's what everybody's dad did.
Right.
Was drive a race car, you know, because it was just so normal. So, if your dad works at the bank, chances are, you know, you think about it and you're like, yeah, I want to be a fireman. I want to work at the bank. I want to do whatever he does. And that's kind of the way I was. So I didn't feel any pressure.
Hey, Kyle, it's been such a great time talking to you, man. Great success on the book, Kyle Petty, Swerve or Die. Thank you for everything you do for veterans and great luck on the book.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. And God bless every one of you. I appreciate everything that you guys do so much.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.